Okay, good evening,
We're
everybody.
We are now live.
Oh, thank you. Good evening, everybody.
Hi.
This is the Lane Transit District Board of Directors regular meeting. Today is Wednesday, October 21st. It is 5:30 p.m. I do call this meeting to order. We'll do a quick roll call. So I, Carl Ye, am here. Caitlin Vargas.
Here.
Josh Scove.
Here.
Stephen Yet.
Here.
Don Norden.
Here.
And I bet Emily Secord is on her way. While we're waiting for her, I'll go ahead and make some quick comments as board president. Actually, this month is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Some of you may know it's actually the second most common cancer among women in the United States, according to the CDC. It's a reminder that while we're all worried about COVID, we should still be taking care of ourselves and doing self-checks and trying to lower our overall cancer risk. You know, some simple things like exercise and eating fruits and vegetables are always a good thing. And then to LTD operators and staff, I just want you to know we are definitely still thinking of you, keeping you in our minds, and we thank you very much for keeping transit going. And with that, let's see, Emily hasn't joined us yet, but AJ, do you have comments for as general manager you'd like to make for us?
I do. I have two announcements. Let me start off with the Stuff the Bus. So we are, for the 25th year, participating in Stuff the Bus. And this, we were one of the founding partners with station KDA and a few other stations, 101.5, Food for Lane County, and local Walmarts. The event will be on Friday, November 13th. And Saturday, November 14th, and we'll have an LTD bus parked one day at the Good Pastor Walmart in Eugene and a day at the Olympic Street Walmart in Springfield. Our partners will have staff out there promoting the event and helping to load the bus due to COVID-19. Of course, we will continue to adhere to all of the social distancing, mask wearing, and sanitation that is required. We're looking for donations for food for Fufu Lane County and toy donations for Toys for Tots. So that will be a fun event. My second announcement today is to provide a little quick background. I won't take too much time, but today the board does have an agenda item on their agenda about the Huntsaker property that is adjacent to the newly in construction Santa Clara Transit Station. And that Huntsaker property, as part of our plan, is to dispose of that property. And what that means is we have to declare it surplus. And that was a decision that was made back in early 2018, in which we were trying to get a PUD for the entire property, but that was difficult. As a mass transit agency, we really have a lot of restrictions, and there's an extensive process in a property of that size. It is a total, including the station and the vacant lot, an 8-acre property. And because of that, the decision was made back then to build only the station and dispose of the remaining. And what we did was we communicated with the neighborhood association and other key stakeholders about that process to ensure that they were supportive of the transit station being there. And in the hopes of LTD disposing of it, releasing it from all of its mass transit restrictions and allowing the development of some of the community's vision in there. And we have our website on the LTD side that gives regular project updates. And most recently, we've been in communication with the city and other community leaders to talk to them about our plans. You might also recall that the disposal of the property is included in the CIP that was presented to the budget committee. And I think Christina will give a public hearing today about that as well. So this is part of our planning process and included annually. But we do know that there's a lot more discussion to be had with the community, as sometimes these public processes appear confusing. So I just want to state that surplusing the property indicates that the property will not be used for mass transit. And that would be the request of the board today, should the board choose to entertain that. And that concludes my comments.
Thank you so much, AJ. I appreciate that little historical perspective and education you had for us on surplus property. With that, let's move on to announcements and additions to the agenda. Are there any?
I have one, Carl, if you don't mind.
I don't. Please go ahead, Stephen.
I suggest, in light of AJ's very thoughtful comments that she just gave, where she referenced that there is discussion that to be had around what happens with the Santa Clara property, and in light of the input we've recently received from many members out in the Santa Clara neighborhood, I would suggest that the board table the vote on labeling the property surplus so there can be a more robust and open discussion going forward with the Santa Clara neighborhood folks than anyone else who has an interest in what the board decides to do with that property.
Thank you, Stephen. Just to clarify, are you making a motion?
I'm sorry, that's a motion.
Yes, thank you. So Stephen has moved to table. Josh, did you go ahead?
I'd like to second the motion.
Oh, excellent. So Josh Gove has seconded the motion. So any brief discussion before voting? Just checking around the room. Okay, well, let's go ahead and move to a vote. Let's start with Caitlin Bargas.
Aye.
Josh Scove.
Aye.
Don Norden.
Aye.
Stephen Yeh.
Aye.
Emily Secord is not here yet, so, and I, Carl Yeh, also vote aye. So motion passes. So we will be tabling that agenda item pending further community discussions and further outreach. So thank you very much, everybody, for that.
Hey,
let's
Carl,
go to, yes, Carl, please.
I'm sorry, but Emily just joined. Do we want to give her an opportunity to vote on that?
How about this? I'll let Emily have a chance to speak. I think since we've already voted in and it's already been decided, I think it's safe to go ahead and move on. But Emily, I'm sorry. I know you just jumped in. We just talked about tabling the Hunsaker property surplus disposal. Did you want to make any comments?
Can you tell me how the vote landed, please?
Oh, it passed with all members voting for it.
The okay, tabling. Then I'll, for the sake of time, I'll defer. Thank you.
Okay, good deal. Just sorry, Don, you were about to say something.
Oh, I just wanted to clarify, it was to table the motion.
That's correct, it's tabled. Yeah, just the motion is tabled. We did not make it, so just to be clear to the public and to everyone, we did not make a decision on it. We are tabling that particular agenda item. Okay, great. Moving on to the board calendar. AJ, is there any calendar items that you'd like to bring to our attention?
And if I may make an announcement about the additions to the agenda, staff's informed me that they've been informed that they would like to add an agenda item. The agenda item is to add STIF committee members. There will be an upcoming advisory meeting, and there's an opportunity for a few members that would like to join and participate. LCOG communicated with staff earlier today and asked if they could be approved so that they can participate in the very next meeting. What we would do is towards the end, whenever the board finishes its regular agenda, we would provide you their names, and then the board and their background, what qualifies them. This is a process that LCOG does in vetting them. Then what we would do is if the board agrees that these are the members that can be added, then they would be added and they would be able to participate immediately versus waiting to the following meeting. So it's just in the interest of bringing more members in earlier, we wanted to see if the board wanted to entertain adding that to the agenda.
Thank you for bringing that to our attention, AJ. So we'll go ahead and follow our normal policy, which we'll, at the end of the meeting, after we complete our regular agenda items, we'll vote on whether to consider it. And then if we do, then we'll go ahead and consider it at that point. So thanks very much for that. Did I see anyone hands up or anyone's hands up? Okay, moving on. Oh, I'm sorry, AJ, were there any board calendar items to review?
Nothing notable. No, there's not.
Oh, excellent. Thank you. Let's see. Next, we have the employee of the month. And I think we're doing it slightly differently this meeting. But I don't know actually who is presenting that to us today. Is it Sean Bradley or is it you, AJ?
I believe it should be Sean. Bear with me one moment. I'm looking for him in the audience.
Yeah.
No. I believe we changed this process in which all we would do is state name and indicate. We said we would not do the presentations.
I got mixed up. Yes, that's right. I forgot we did change. I got in my mind that we were just going to do the presentation without the employee. We're actually just mentioning the employee and not doing any presentation at all. So,
due to the technical difficulty and the scheduling conflicts, and we're not on site.
Right. Yes. Thank you for mentioning that. So I'll go ahead and just mention that bus operator Margaret Dahl was selected to receive the November Employee of the Month Award. Let's see. Let me get to. So on August 26, 2020, while on her 91 Mackenzie Bridge route, bus operator Margaret Dahl had an incident on her bus that required patience, professionalism, and courage. And so we thank very much for Margaret's service to LTD and congratulations to her as being our Employee of the Month. So with that, let's go ahead and move to audience participation. I'm going to go ahead and read this out for everyone to hear, and then this will be how the public can engage with us. So this part of the agenda is reserved for members of the public to address the board on any issue. To indicate that you would like to provide testimony, please use the raise your hand button, which I actually see people have done. If you're actually attending by phone, please press *9 on your phone to raise your hand. And so when it is your time to speak, your name will be called. For those attending via phone only, the last 4 digits of your phone number will be called. Please state your name, your city of residence, and who you are representing for the audio record. And once you have provided testimony, your hand will be lowered. Please don't raise it again because we're only providing one opportunity to speak per person. For those who are unable or not wanting to speak publicly, testimony may be provided via email at clerk@signltd.org. And actually many of you have done that and we have received those and read those. Public testimony is limited to 3 minutes per community member. A timer is going to be on the screen and it will beep when there's 3 minutes up. So I will not be giving you an actual, like a 30 second warning. That's will be regulated by yourselves. And with that, Camille, I'm gonna go ahead and let you handle calling the people each time. Would you go ahead and put our first public speaker on?
Thanks, Carl. First up, I have Kate Pearl. Kate, go right ahead as soon as you're ready. It looks like we might be having a technical difficulty with unmuting. Oh, there we go. Now she's unmuted. Kate, go right ahead.
Let's see. This technology is befuddling. So thank you, LTD board members, for hearing from the public before your decision to list the Santa Clara Elementary School site as surplus in preparation for disposing of it. I'm a longtime self-employed Santa Clara resident who pays LTD taxes annually. I'm a regular bus user and an advocate for alternative modes of transport. I'm also the chair of the Santa Clara Community Organization and I'm active in our neighborhood planning process. We've been working for decades to reach out to our 21,000 residents, identify the opportunities and challenges they face and try to find creative solutions to address these looking into the future. That's the gist of our neighborhood planning work, a refinement plan for this area that guides growth, development, and change for the next 30 years. This work is a collaboration between the City of Eugene, Lane County, and both the River Road and Santa Clara community organizations. We began this work in 2017 and have been hard at it ever since. A large part of our work has been creating relationships between residents, municipalities, service districts, and agencies that are based on transparent communication, shared outcomes, and recognizing opportunities to work together to help us move toward a more resilient and fruitful future. Building these relationships of trust takes time and continual effort. A show of good faith actions and follow-up repeated over and over for years is the hallmark of this trust. In these two neighborhoods, that kind of relationship with the city of Eugene is revolutionary, yet that's what we're doing slowly and deliberately every day. Part of the city's work with us has been the River Road Corridor Study, a transit-oriented development plan for the River Road Corridor in conjunction with LTD and the neighborhoods and funded by an FTA grant awarded to you. Part of that plan is the comprehensive planning of the elementary school site. This is the message given to our residents over the last 2 years of corridor study outreach, neighborhood meetings, planning, and eventual code writing. Reaching out to the residents, listening to their needs and experiences, collaboratively creating a plan for the future, that's what we've been doing, all the while building trusting relationships based on repeated good faith actions. In contrast, your choice to take action on disposal of property that's integral to this plan and central to our community's history without any form of advance notice or consultation breached every tenet of trust building. Your choices have consequences and they don't exist in a vacuum. You've received years of support and advocacy from our organization when you sought funding for the transit station and when you wanted to amend our neighborhood plan to suit your needs. Choosing to disregard what could be a community win-win-win with your transit station situated next to a vibrant urban plaza surrounded by a mix of services that neighbors want and need is the height of hubris, and by all accounts, a poor choice on your part. The sadness for us will not only be the loss of that opportunity, but also the damage to relationships we've been building for years. The residents that have been carrying forward the neighborhood plan and their relationship of trust with their own neighborhoods will suffer. Neighbors will conflate your actions with those of the city of Eugene, and the trust we've been fostering between these two neighborhoods and the city will suffer.
Kate, I am so sorry. I hate to interrupt, but the 3 minutes are up, and I just want to say thank you very much for your public testimony to us today.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Camille, go ahead. Who is next on our list?
Next, we have John Murray.
Hi, Camille.
John, go right ahead.
Thanks, Camille.
This we can hear you.
Thank you. John Quetzalcoatl Murray. I speak the first part on behalf of the Southeast Neighbors Board, and then the second part on behalf of the Southeast Neighbors Transportation Committee. Thank you, AJ, all the staff, drivers, and the board members for your service, and especially want to recognize this month's Employee of the Month, Margaret Dahl, for her heroism. The Southeast Neighbors Board signed a letter that we sent to our representative, Don Norden, copy to AJ and Carl. We asked that full letter be entered into the record. Here's a quick recap. We, Southeast Neighbors, have recommended for transit tomorrow that you consider replacing your current hub and spoke model with regional hubs, like the Santa Clara station and the Amazon station. Jess Turk-Roshak came up with a model she calls the Infinity Loop, where buses would trundle along through the neighborhoods and they would connect with the high frequency network at these hubs. We also look forward to greater collaboration with LTD. When it's safe to do so, we would like to invite all of you on the board to the boardwalk. That is a socially distanced walk along the routes in Southeast that are slated to be removed from the future plan. We believe an on-site discussion would be informative for all participants. We appreciate LTD's responsiveness to our public input. We ask that the board continue to increase opportunities for community input. And switching to speaking as myself, including the Hunsaker property in the Santa Clara neighborhood. We ask that you listen to the neighborhoods who have already held visioning meetings for the Santa Clara Elementary School site, and that you engage the neighborhoods in all decision-making processes involving those sites. Thank you all again for all you've done, your service to our community, for all the time and energy you've offered to help us share our feedback with the LTD board. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Camille, who is our next speaker?
Okay. Next, we have Jeff Parker.
Great. Jeff, thanks.
Go right ahead.
Thank you, Chair Ye and members of the board. Thank you for having me. My name is Jeff Parker. I'm an 18-year resident of the Santa Clara community. And I had a lot of things that I was going to say. And what I do want to change that to say is thank you, Stephen, for making the motion to table agenda item number 14. And thank you to the rest of the board for being thoughtful about that and the incredible amount of energy and effort that has been put into that that would have been wasted. I do think it's worth noting that if board members have not had a chance to look at the letter from Kate Pearl, the chair of the Santa Clara Community Organization that is dated October 18th, I think they should, because in it, it describes the good faith negotiations that have been happening between that organization and LTD about that specific property. In fact, I remember being in the room in a meeting in 2018 when Andy Vibora showed us a print of what that would look like, and it clearly showed a community plaza, which this community desperately needs. And for those not knowing the history of Santa Clara, there have been some good faith and bad faith and good effort and bad efforts with our negotiation with the municipalities in the surrounding area. And many of the residents have ended up on the short end of that stick. And so there already is a culture of distrust that people like Kate and Jerry Finnegan and others have really worked hard to reestablish, and we're doing great work in that space. So my comments are thank you for tonight, but tonight is only gets us to the starting line, and to certainly approach this work with humility, because many residents in this neighborhood were shocked to find that this was on the agenda. And I would just like to correct one thing that AJ mentioned, was that the motion was not just to declare it surplus. The motion was to declare it surplus and give full control to the general manager for its disposal. And that's very different than just declaring it surplus. So I thank you for your action tonight, and I look forward to deep, deep engagement about this property, the heart and soul of our community, as we go forward.
Thank you very much for your public comment. Who do we have next, Camille?
Next, we have Rob Zako. Rob, go right ahead when you're ready.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? This is Rob Zako, Executive Director of Better Eugene Springfield Transportation, living in Eugene. I don't want to belabor the point about Hunsaker. Endorses comments you've already heard. And I also want to say that John Belcher, who's our treasurer, wanted to comment tonight, but he had a conflicting meeting. So my comments are on his behalf as well. I'll just remind board members, as you know, that LTD is a public agency. You're certainly in the business of moving people. You're in the business of transit, but you're more broadly in the business of advancing public goals. Community goals, and those include reducing greenhouse gas emissions, providing affordable housing, providing transit-oriented development, and having a livable community to live in. Other communities would kill for, well, other communities would envy having some surplus property that they could plan right around a major transit station where we're investing $5 million and be able to leverage that public investment to have other things happen. This is a real opportunity, a gem, and it's great that we have an opportunity to do it right. Again, I second what other people have said. Thank you to the board and look forward to the sequel.
The sequel.
Thank you very much, Rob. who is next, Camille?
Next we have Rachel Anderson. Rachel, go right ahead when you're ready.
Hi there, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, this is Rachel Anderson. I'm representing myself tonight. Thank you to the board for the chance to speak, and to AJ. Appreciate the chance to talk to you guys. I have a really short comment today. As I've been working with you guys the last year, I'm thinking about Southeast Eugene and Transit Tomorrow and how it works out. I have this crazy brainstorm idea that we want to be more partners with you. We want to work with you. And so I think it'd be great if the board, during some board meetings, could start doing like question and answer periods so that we can communicate with each other back and forth instead of us talking at you and then us just listening to the board meeting. So my idea is to improve communication between the the local citizenry and the board by making an agenda item each month that allows us to have a back and forth communication where we can have either we can have a public comment or we can sign up to speak during a question answer period. So that's something I would request. I think it would make our LTD more powerful because it'd be more of a team approach with the citizens and the board working together and communicating in a more clearer way than just kind of talking at each other. And so that's it for my comment tonight. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rachel. Do we have any other public people who would like to make a public comment?
I am not showing any. Oh, we do have one more. Okay. Patrick Kerr. Go right ahead when you're ready.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good evening. My name is Patrick Kerr. I'm a longtime resident for the Santa Clara area. I'm also on the Santa Clara Community Board organization. I just wanted to say thank you to the board for taking the time to acknowledge the Hunsacker property and the implications that it has. Rob had a great a comment on it is a gem of a location. I do echo Kate and Jeff's sentiments about this, and I just wanted to give my two cents to the board that it is a very important a piece of property, and River Road is a gem of the city as well. So I'll yield the rest of my time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Patrick. Thank you to everyone for your public comments to us today. We really appreciate that engagement. Camille, just to make sure there is nobody else who would like to speak.
I am not showing anyone else.
Very good. Great. Next, we have a public hearing for the Community Investment Plan. Christina, I believe, is going to do a very brief public presentation. And then, is that right, Christina?
Yes. Good evening, everybody. Yes, I'm here. And I am presenting the proposed fiscal year 2021 through 2030 Community Investment Plan, which was posted on LTD's website on September 16, 2020. And public comment was being solicited and welcome until the CIP is adopted. The adoption date is currently planned for November 18. And only one public comment has been received so far. And this comment was received by email and recommended that the CIP include investment in an application called One Bus Away, which is a real-time bus tracker. And this recommendation was forwarded to the board on October 13. And this request is referencing a specific application, but real-time bus information is already included in our CIP as part of our CAD AVL project. The budget committee met actually on October 7th, and I reviewed the CIP in detail and answered questions asked by the combined board and citizen committee. And after review and discussion, the budget committee recommended that the board adopt the CIP as presented. And so today we can answer any new questions that you have on the CIP. And we're also recommending that the board hold, like what you said, Carl, a public hearing on that the 2021 through 2030 CIP to obtain any additional public input. And then based on the board's direction, we'll amend the CIP and request adoption at the next board meeting on November 18. And then once adopted, the CIP will be posted on the LTD website as final. And so we have posted on the website the presentation that we had at the budget committee for people, as well as the full CIP document. So if you'd like me to go through the full preso, I can do that. But this is sort of the summary of what we've got us here to today.
Oh no, Christina, the summary is just fine, unless a board member would like something more. And seeing none, I think that's good. correct me if I'm wrong. Did you have some highlights that you wanted to from the CIP that you want to present right before we go into a public hearing? If not, that's okay.
I don't have any highlights. You know, the presentation that I did to the budget committee had highlights of certain projects, but I don't know that. And that is, I can go through any of those if there's any particular one that you want me to review.
Oh, no, that's okay. Unless a board member asked for it, I was under the impression that you might do that, but that is totally fine. So with that, let me go ahead and open a public hearing for public testimony on the community investment plan. I'm going to run through the instructions really quickly with the public. I know many of you have already just heard it, but if you would like to provide testimony, please use the raise your hand button or press *9 on your phone to raise your hand. For those attending, when is your turn to speak, your name will be called, or otherwise the last four digits of your phone number will be called. Please remember to state your name, city of residence, and who you're representing for the audio record. I was actually pretty terrible about reminding people of that, but please remember to do that. Once you provide your testimony, please keep your hand down or lower your hand because we're only allowing one speaking opportunity per person. And then you can also send your comments to clerk@ltd.org. And then the public testimony is limited to 3 minutes per community member. And a timer will be displayed and will beep at the end of 3 minutes. So with that, Camille, do we have our first speaker? I think I saw Rob Zako.
Yes.
Hi. I apologize. I was muted. Yes, that's right. Rob, you're good to go.
Hi, it's Rob Zako again, still executive director of Better Eugene Springfield Transportation, still living in Eugene. Thank you for this opportunity to comment on the CIP. Bess will be delivering tomorrow more detailed written comments. So here, I just want to give you the gist of our feedback. First, Bess has no objections to adopting the CIP. As far as we can tell, all the projects are in line with community goals and LTD goals, and that generally looks good. That said, we're skeptical that these projects are necessarily going to get built as the way they're planned. We live in incredibly uncertain times, and we would not be surprised if you adopted the CIP and then shortly thereafter had to change it, which is just the nature of things. That said, we've tried really hard to dig into this and understand the numbers, and we like the fact that there is an introduction that's user-friendly, that's in plain English, that has graphics that talks about the plan. But when we tried to get into the numbers, we were having trouble finding what this all meant. We had trouble understanding why projects are there, and we have some comments on how the plan could be more clear. Third, as I said, as far as we can tell, the projects in the plan advance community goals, and we trust that that's the case, but from the plan itself, we actually can't tell that. The descriptions of projects are so short that the public doesn't actually really know what it is they're achieving. What the public really sees is a lot of money being spent by LTD for transit kinds of stuff. Probably it could be better explained what things are intended to accomplish, not just what the projects are. Which brings me to my final and actually main point. The CIP feels like it's part of a larger 10-year strategic business plan. It's the implementation part of that. You develop a plan of what you want to do over 10 years, and then you say, well, this is how we're going to spend money. And as part of a larger plan, it would make total sense. And that plan would talk about goals and a timeline and so forth. But LTD doesn't have a 10-year strategic business plan. And so as such, it's really hard to see what the CIP is doing. We don't expect you to have a business plan this cycle, but we call on LTD for next year to please bring back a CIP as part of a strategic business plan. Thank you very much. And again, we'll follow up with written comments in the morning.
Much appreciated. Thank you very much, Rob. Camille, do we have anyone else who would like to make a public testimony regarding the CIP?
No, we do not.
Okay, great. Well, then I will go ahead and close this public hearing. And I just wanna make sure, are there any board comments or questions? Yasha, did I see your hand raised?
Yeah, super fast. I just very quickly, two quick things. One, I just wanted to acknowledge what Rob Zako just said, and that I think there's a parallel from our budget discussions with the CIP, and that we know we're going to have to like be nimble and make changes as the next year and maybe quite a bit longer, sort of plays out. So I think that's an important thing to keep in mind. And the second thing is just on the One Bus Away email that we all received, I would say staff have been doing really good work, not all of which we've had a chance to deliberate on much at the board level. So the community, we need to do a little more to help the community hear about it, but staff have been doing really good work planning for the next generation of how the data comes in and how the data goes out and becomes usable to people. And there's a lot of work I know interjurisdictionally as well. So we are looking ahead to things like that. Hard to move it quickly, but I just want people to know we are thinking about that future. That's it.
Thanks, Josh. Any other comments or questions from board members? Okay, seeing none, I just want to say, Christina, thank you to you and your team for putting the CIP together. I know we say that every year, but I think sometimes I don't even think I really fully comprehend how much work it takes to put those things together. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Carl.
Okay, great. We'll move on next to board member reports. There's no need to comment unless you, in addition to what's already written, but just in case there was anything you wanted to point out or wanted to say. Okay, hearing that, I do want to make a correction. Camille, I did notice that, I don't know why I didn't catch it before, that I'm actually the representative for OMPOC and not Kate Reed anymore.
Thank you for that. And no, Leah has her hand up to provide an update.
Oh, yes, thank you. Yes, go ahead, please. I think now that since we don't have any other board member talking, let's go ahead and do.
But actually, you have Don and I both have hands up. Sorry.
Oh, my apologies. Leah, if you can stand by, I'm going to have Josh and Don go. So, Josh, go ahead.
It's super fast. I just wanted you to know that DLCD, Department of Land Conservation and Development staff, have asked me to join the Climate Friendly and Equitable Communities RAC, the Rulemaking Advisory Committee, as an alternate to someone from another transit agency. So I will, you'll hear more about this in the future, but this relates to some of the things that are being discussed at the MPC and to the piece of, if people remember, the piece of our climate policy that we passed earlier this year that is about coordinating with local jurisdictions to coordinate land use and transportation. So DLCD is doing land use related rulemaking on that. And so that's probably about a year long process. So more on that as I know it.
Very good. Don, go ahead.
Yeah, actually, Caitlin attended the LCOG meeting for me, the last meeting, but I did want to comment because of the way it's presented in the information on our board is that, well, they said we had a report on broadband. There's also a discussion about just communications within our community. And when I look at the list of all of the agencies in the community who are engaged in communication processes, it's almost everybody. The City of Eugene, City of Springfield, the Lane County, LCOG, and LTD is absent from that. And I'm kind of wondering, why aren't we connected to the whole regional effort to have communication? Well, that's basically my question about that. Perhaps Caitlin received the full report. She might have something more.
That was quite a while ago, so I don't remember that specific piece. About 80% of that meeting was indeed spent on the fiber and what's going on with all of the high-speed fibers. And the partners all presented on that. So I unfortunately don't remember that specific piece of that meeting. So I apologize for that.
Go ahead, AJ.
We can bring back information at a future meeting if the board has an interest. I do know that we've been working with partners on this, and our attorney, Kristen Denmark, has also helped us in those negotiations. So maybe we can do a department report, and if more information, then maybe we can make it a presentation. But we can bring that to the next board meeting, a regular board meeting.
I think that sounds like a great idea. Don, does that sound good to you too?
Yeah, I just wanted to, I guess, remind us that a couple of months ago, a contract committee went ahead and agreed to extend whatever contract it was for communication services. And then there was some discussion about, well, we'll get back to that. It's just a kind of a stopgap for right now. And that's essentially what I wanted to address now, is that if this is something we're perhaps contracting out with somebody else to do a different thing, I would wonder why we wouldn't join with our regional community.
Yes, and that's something, and those are two different topics. That was a phone system. This is the broadband fiber. But either case, I think it's important for us to bring you back information so that we'll bring you back information on both of those projects.
Great. Thank you very much, AJ. Next, let's go ahead and speed over to Leah, who is the chair for our strategic planning committee and will be giving us an update. Go ahead, Leah.
Yes. Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me. I'll keep it really short and sweet, but at our last meeting, the strategic planning committee had a presentation from staff on STIF funding and the discretionary applications that they were proposing. So the committee reviewed that and decided to, you know, fully support the slate of four projects that staff proposed and that I believe you all will be looking at to approve at your meeting tonight. So just giving you that update, I think folks were excited and thought they were relevant and interesting projects to put forward. And I think I'll be back with you all in coming months with more updates on STIF as that takes shape over the rest of the fall.
Leah, thank you so much for that update. Actually, just make sure, any questions for Leah just before she goes? Great. Well, thank you so much, Leah. Thank you very much for your work on SPC, and we look forward to more of what you and your committee does in the coming months. Okay, we'll go ahead and move on to the consent calendar. Let's see. I guess at that point, I just need to entertain a motion. Or at this point. On page 30. Yeah, go ahead, Don.
I'll move adoption of LTD resolution 2020-10-21-058. It's hereby resolved that the consent calendar for October 21st, 2020 is approved and presented as it's presented.
Thank you. I'm not sure who said it. Was it you, Josh? Or is it Emily?
And Emily and Stephen, I think. There's lots of
okay. How about I choose Emily then? So moved by Don, seconded by Emily. Quick roll call vote. I'm just going to do it by screen. Joshua Scove.
Aye.
Don Norden.
Aye.
Emily Secord. Go ahead.
Aye.
Caitlin Vargas.
Aye.
Stephen Yet.
Aye.
And I, Carl Ye, also vote aye. So motion passes. All right, let's move on to the next item, which is we have the U of O alert level framework presentation by Matt Roberts. So I think Camille needs to bring him over. Oh, there.
Hello.
Welcome to the board, Matt. Thank you very much in advance for your presentation.
Good. Everyone can hear me fine?
Yeah, we can. Thank you.
Oh, good. Hey, nice to see all you. Thank you, AJ, for inviting us over today. I'm going to be presenting with your board member, Josh Scove.
Oh, Matt, I think we lost you unless you did that on purpose.
Am I back now?
You are. Thank you.
I don't know what happened, but everything disappeared and now I see everyone. So now, this is very good. So, hey, I was just saying thank you to AJ for inviting us over, be presenting with Josh today. Josh is, in addition to your board member, is a faculty member at the U of O in the business school. And we're presenting what is known as the U of O and Lane County Dashboard for COVID. And I think it's a valuable tool that's available to anyone in the community that would like to use it. It's a tool that we use for decision-making on what we're doing at the university, what decisions we're making. We take all this data, put it into an alert level, and take about 600 data points and evaluate those. And then we make decisions based on that. And I like to be out in the community sharing this and just sharing that the decisions we're making are made science-based, very data-driven, and have meaning behind them. So they're just not randomly made decisions. And Josh will share his screen and walk through the dashboard with you, and then we can discuss how you may want to take advantage of this tool that we've put together with Lane County. So Josh, I'll let you take it away. Nice to see all my friends that I haven't seen in a while. We'll go from there.
Excellent. All right. And can you all hear me and see the shared screen? Is that coming through?
Beautiful, Josh.
Okay, just checking. Sorry, I now can't see you because my screen is engulfed with this for technical reasons. All right, so I'll forge ahead. Well, and I was going to make a joke. I don't have an LTD hat, but I was going to say I'm going to take off one hat and put on the other hat. I have to like take off my LTD hat and put on my U of O hat because I'm here as a faculty member who has volunteered with various efforts related to COVID response on campus. So I'm here really just to support Matt in the outreach to the community. We presented exactly what you'll see tonight to the Eugene Chamber and also early this morning to the Springfield Chamber as well. AJ got to hear it then. I'm hoping you've forgotten it since then, AJ, because it's new again, because it was at 7 a.m. The person who isn't here to present is U of O's Chief Resilience Officer, Andre LeDuc. He's really the person who did the heavy lift in developing this framework. And if we ever wanted to have a much deeper dive, maybe in a work session, we could certainly try to ask Andre, but he is, as you can imagine, incredibly busy with the U of O's response. So I'm gonna just briefly describe the rationale for an alert level framework. I think this will be familiar, but it's a helpful starting point. Give a couple of examples, and then we'll push on to what U of O's developed and then talk about how it can be used by local organizations. So alert levels, you kind of know this already, but the rationale here is to simplify an incredibly complex situation and to inform decision-making and to stop kind of just discussing or arguing and to have clear actions that follow from a decision framework. I'm pretty sure I don't need to describe the air quality index to everybody at this point. I think, unfortunately, people are pretty familiar with it, but it is a really good example, not just because it summarizes information that's out there for your use, but then gives you a recommendation of what to do. So you see I've blown up there the hazardous instruction. Everyone should stay indoors and reduce healthy activity levels. So the idea is to take complexity and a bunch of data, turn it into something simpler and give us recommendations for action. There are other alert frameworks out there. I won't describe in detail Homeland Security or the Defense Condition Index that people might remember from the Cold War, but the point is the same, to take complex information and make it simpler to support decision-making. So let's talk about the U of O alert level framework. There are a few essential components. There is the alert level itself with basic recommended actions. And then there's an underlying indicators matrix that the incident management team leaders at U of O and from around the community meet and deliberate about each week. And then of course, there's a bunch of underlying data and code, which we won't cover here at all. Again, the key rationale, we need simplicity for the alert level so we can communicate to a much broader audience. And then we need clear organization of the underlying information so it's credible, so people understand how we reach that conclusion. And then this is out there so organizations can deliberate and take action. I have organizations there because I just as well have individuals, because ultimately we disseminate this not just to organizations, but to everyone at the U of O. And the community. So let me go through the pieces of this. The the current alert level is kind of the simplest form. It has what you need to know, like what is the current alert level, then has what you need to do, has some recommended actions under there. And then it also has this context, right? You can see all of the levels that it could be at. So right now it's at high, but it could be at very high, could be at moderate, could be at low. So those are the essential components of the current alert level. And that's what people will see most. That's the thing that shows up in the email blasts that go to the campus community, for example. And it's also something that will show up elsewhere in the community. People may have seen that mentioned in the paper or on Lane County's website, since Lane County is a major partner in this. Now, there's also a bunch of underlying data. This isn't just randomly decided. It is built up from this underlying information. From the U of O's perspective, you have these two big chunks of information. You have a bunch of community indicators and then some University of Oregon specific indicators. So the ones under community disease control, probably pretty familiar to people by now, the prevalence of new cases, the overall positivity rate, knowing whether cases are connected, you can see them there. And each one of these has a low, moderate, high, or very high level. So important to see all of that there. And then there are a bunch of these for the University of Oregon specifically. Obviously, the U of O is kind of a city within a city in Eugene. And so that we have separate indicators that relate to the campus community and what's going on specifically on campus. And this is the part that will also be, I think, potentially valuable for certain Lane County businesses and other organizations to start thinking, oh, what would be specific indicators for us? More on that in a moment. Now, just a quick look, I just want to go through one example really quickly. So I mentioned prevalence. So this is monitored by Lane County Public Health, and it's one of these indicators that relates to the whole community. So you have this key question, what is the prevalence of new cases? And then you have an indicator. And I think lots of people are familiar with the average of the idea of new case counts per 100,000 people. And then you see over here, a number of levels that are described by public health people to figure out, okay, what would high be? What would moderate be? What would very high be? And then the other thing to call out is that you have some triggers, right? You have something that says, oh, actually, we should probably move this up to a higher level, or we should probably move this down. So in addition to the different levels, there's also this sense of the rate of change of these things as well. And so an example of something where you're looking at the rate of change, you might know that, Lane County was put on the watch list by Governor Brown. That's an example of that. So I won't go through all those. I'll give links here in a second so people can explore it on their own. But I do want to say, like, what do organizations do with this? Let me give you three options. One is you could develop your entire own alert level framework and underlying indicators matrix from the ground up. This is sort of a joke, but because most organizations are not going to have the time and the money to do this, some like really large corporations are making essentially their own. But this is an expensive thing. The thing you could do as a hybrid would be to say, let's use the community indicators that are getting reported by U of O and Lane County, as you saw there, and then maybe think of our own organization-specific indicators that relate to our circumstances. And then the last thing you could just use what's there. Use what the U of O has developed and is, and I put U of O there, but it's really, in partnership with a whole range of folks in the community. You could just look at that and maybe even cherry pick some of the University of Oregon specific indicators that relate to things about your organization. For LTD, that might be the fact that we have a lot of students who ride our buses. For downtown businesses, it might be that they're in proximity to large student populations, but that could be relevant as well. So the idea here is that, as Matt said at the beginning, we don't want people to completely reinvent this wheel, right? This is a resource that's out there. It's just that the university hasn't had a ton of time to share it. And so that's what we're doing tonight, is to kind of bring it to LTD for everyone to think about. And then see if there are any questions. Actually, and I'll just put these links up so people can find their way back to everything. But Matt, do you want to pile on before we take questions or anything?
Yeah, so I would just share that this is a live, what Josh's slideshow were a snapshot. It's a live, updated daily set of data. And every Tuesday, the group meets and evaluates the data and works out a plan for what the alert level might be. Both McKinsey-Willamette and Peace Health are very involved. They're key partners in this. They're also supporters of it and use the dashboard itself. The City of Eugene, LCC, and the City of Florence are all on board and utilizing the dashboard too. So eventually those will all be indicated here like a giant NASCAR, you know, advertising board, but all those facilities and communities are part of it. LTD is welcome to be a part of it, welcome to use the data that we provide or develop some of your own, and we'd be happy to share the mechanism behind the scenes that you could utilize. But it's a pretty valuable tool. It's really data driven, very transparent. You can click all the way through this and find even, you know, the measures that we use to present the data that's on the front page of the dashboard. So we're happy to take questions, and you can page through it yourselves and look at all the information. Our goal was to be as transparent as possible with all the information we use to make our decisions on campus.
Oh, well, Matt and Josh, I want to say thank you very much for this presentation. And it's great to get this insight into what U of O is doing. And with that, let us do see if there are any questions or comments from the other board members.
Carl, I just want to echo thanks to Josh and Matt. It's just really nice to get this information. I just appreciated both you taking the time to do this.
Yeah, thanks, Caitlin. Oh, and I see, sorry, Don, I just saw your hand up. Go ahead, Don.
I'm sorry, I think I didn't take my hand down before. I would echo what Caitlin just said. This is great sharing.
Thanks, Don. Just checking around the room, making sure anyone else have any questions or comments. Well, Matt and Josh, that is often a sure sign that you did such a good job that no follow-ups were necessary. But you know what? There may be some in the future, so it sounds like you're amenable to us sending that or communicating with you in the future.
Yeah, please reach out if anyone has further questions. Always available to talk and answer any questions. It's nice to see you all again.
Yeah.
Hi, Emily.
And I will make the presentation available so it can be posted. And again, the easy link to remember is coronavirus.uoregon.edu, and you can find everything that we talked about tonight at that link.
Thanks, Josh.
Welcome.
Josh, don't forget to take your U of O hat off now. Put your
LTD hat off. Got it. Thank you.
I'm going to go put my Dodger hat on now and watch again. See you guys.
Thank Bye-bye.
You. Thank you, Matt.
Bye. Thanks, Josh, again.
Absolutely.
Thank you, AJ, too.
Okay, next we have a contract 2020-158 TransTrack. Let's see, whoops. I need to get back to the right page here. 65.
While you're finding it, Carl, do you want me to just give like super quick context from
Please.
Our... Yeah, yeah.
That'd
so
be great. Go
just,
ahead.
Yeah, so... Carl and I, Emily couldn't make this contract committee meeting, but super fast, Carl and I talked about this with staff. And so what you see in the packet is an updated AIS where staff have given us like really clear numbers. It would normally otherwise have been in the consent calendar, but we just wanted to make sure the numbers were clear. And I think it is super clear now what we're paying up front and what we're paying per year. And Carl and I had, I think I'm speaking for you, Carl, we had no reservations about this expenditure. We just wanted to make sure it was clear what we were on the hook for. And we wanted everyone to know that this will give us great data. Mark pointed out to us that it actually will give us sort of much more automated data, not just for our own purposes and for federal compliance, but also for our ABBG benchmarking work. So it's not a tiny amount of money, but it'll be money really well spent and will save us a lot of manual labor that we're doing now.
Yeah, that's correct. What Josh said is correct. We would have had no reservations putting it forward. We just want to make sure people had the full knowledge of this particular contract. Otherwise, yes, it would have been in the consent calendar. I have a strong suspicion that the phone icon symbol I'm looking at is probably Harry Sanger. Is that right, Harry?
That's correct.
Okay. I think he's here just in case there are any questions from other board members regarding this item. But also, Harry, if you have anything you want to add to this discussion, please feel free.
No, I think we addressed it in the contract committee. As you mentioned, I updated the document per our conversation, and I appreciate the board's consideration of this item.
Excellent. So just looking around the room, any board member with a question or comment? And if none, I will entertain a motion.
If I can turn the page here, I will. Oh, goodness gracious. Is this?
Move adoption of LTD resolution number 2020-10-21-060.
Second.
Great. So it's been moved by Don to approve this contract and seconded by Josh. So all those in favor, we'll do a roll call vote. We'll just go ahead and start with Josh.
Aye.
Don Norton?
Aye.
Emily Secord? She's giving a thumbs up, so I'm going to say aye for her. Oh.
Thank you.
Caitlin Vargas?
Aye.
Stephen Yet?
Aye.
And I, Carl Yet, also vote aye. So motion passes. Harry, thank you very much for being here and taking the time to update the document.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Have a good evening.
You as well. Thank you.
Okay, moving on to, oh, we are now at the STIF program discretionary fund projects. Tom, I believe you are up next.
Yes, thank you. Actually, Christina is going to go through and I need to share my screen and load the show.
Okay. Thanks. So I'd like to share an overview of the Statewide Transportation Improvement Fund, usually referred to as the STIF. This funding source was established with the passage of House Bill 2017. And the goal of this funding source is to improve or expand public transportation services with a specific focus on four areas. First, equity through increased access to low-income households. Second, sustainability through low or no emission vehicles. Third, intercommunity connectivity by connecting two or more communities with an emphasis on rural and underserved communities. And lastly, students in grades 9 through 12. So I'm at the kickoff right there where you see. We kicked off the project funding cycle in October, and grants awarded through this funding cycle will be for the period starting July 1st, 2021 and ending June 30, 2023. The STIF funding journey has two cycles. One cycle is for competitive funds and one is for formula funds. So steps 1 through 3 you see at the very top of your of the graph focuses on the competitive fund journey. And then steps 4 through 6 at the bottom part of the graph focus on the formula fund journey. The LTD projects being considered through the competitive grant application process benefit both communities within LTD's district and outside LTD's district by leveraging STIF competitive dollars, thereby reducing the use of either general fund or STF match dollars. Tom will cover these projects in more detail, but the freed up dollars allow LTD to provide increased service both in and outside of our district. So starting with the number one there, there are three competitive STIF grant funding sources. The STIF grant, the STIF discretionary fund has a 10 to 20% match requirement and is for projects that meet the overall STIF goal of improving or expanding transportation services. The STIF Intercommunity Fund also has a 10 to 20% match and is for projects which improve public transportation between two or more communities. The Intercity Fund is to expand the intercity network, which is defined as connections between cities that are more than 20 miles apart. This fund has a 50% match for operations projects and a 20% match for capital projects. So now I'm moving on to number two. The Strategic Planning Committee, also known as the SPC, is a citizen committee that vets the competitive STIF grant projects and provides the LTD board with their recommendation. The committee met on October 6, reviewed LTD's four proposed discretionary projects, and forwarded them on to the LTD board with a recommendation to approve them for grant application. And then moving on to cell three. So at today's board meeting, you will be requested to approve the four SPC recommended competitive grant projects. The approved projects will be submitted to ODOT on or before November 2nd. So now I'm moving down to the little white commentary box. Steps four through six focus on the STIF formula funding. Unlike steps one through three, the LTD board is stepping out of its role as a decision-making body for LTD's projects and is stepping into the role as the qualified entity, or QE, for all of Lane County. In this role as a QE, the LTD board is reviewing and approving both LTD projects and other public entities, which are both in district and out of district, which have transportation improvement projects within Lane County. So moving to number four, the STIF formula funding has no match requirement. The project funding between in and out of district is expected to be split roughly 90% in district and 10% out of district to align with the taxes that are paid by geographic area. The STIF committee, also known as the SAC, is a citizen committee that vets, prioritizes, and provides the QE with their STIF formula funding recommendations. And lastly, box six, as the QE, the LTD board will review and discuss the SAC STIF formula fund recommendations on December 16. Projects approved by the QE on January 20th will be submitted to ODOT on February 1st. And now Tom will take over from here and provide the schedule, details, and the SPC recommendations.
Thanks, Christina. I might ask if the board wanted to ask any questions about the overall process before I dig into the timeline.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't see anyone asking the question or any question.
Okay, that's fine.
That's what I think. Go forth.
Okay. So we thought it'd be useful to do a review of the timeline that we have for development of the required applications for STIF funding, both with respect to the discretionary programs that I'm going to describe next and the formula fund applications, which will be brought to you over the next several months. To start with, just know that the last cycle was the first time that we had been through this process. So this represents the first quote unquote normal cycle, and we're working within the state's timeline, and you'll see it's fairly tight. To begin with, the STIF discretionary grant application forms were posted by ODOT on September 4th, and we provided the board with an overview at your September 16th meeting. The STIF Advisory Committee had its first meeting on October 6th, which entailed a review of the timeline and process that would take place in this round of STIF applications. SPC had its first overview process at their October 6th meeting as well. In addition to the overview, we needed them to develop recommendations to the board on the discretionary fund projects that we're going to discuss this evening. And you heard Leah mention that they recommended approval of those grants. At tonight's meeting, we'll be asking you to approve the discretionary applications as well as appointing STIF advisory committees with committee members, which AJ mentioned. Next Monday, we'll be providing LCOG with a general project overview and estimated budget for each of our formula fund projects we plan to apply for. This will allow LCOG staff to get a sense from around the county. So they'll be collecting this information from all applicants countywide as to how many, just to get a sense from around the county who's applying for what and for how much, just to see, you know, given the amount of funding we expect to come in relative to the projects being asked for. And this is an important step because this is really what feeds the STIF Advisory Committee in terms of setting priorities that will ultimately come to the board acting as the QE. The STIF discretionary applications are due to ODOT on November 2nd. And then the next day, November 3rd, in addition to other things that might be happening that day, the STIF Advisory Committee will have their second meeting where they'll be discussing the summary of potential project applications that LCOG has assembled from around the county. That'll be their first discussion and look at those projects. That same evening, the SPC meeting will include an action item for recommendation to the board on LTD's STIF Formula Fund projects. LTD's formula applications are due to LCOG on November 9th. So the formal applications themselves will be given to LCOG to work with. Moving forward, the board will receive a review on the Formula Fund project applications being submitted by LTD on November 18th. And at your December 16th meeting, we'll be asking you to approve LTD's Formula Fund projects in your role as the local transportation service provider. At that same meeting, you'll put on your QE hat and receive a review of the draft list of countywide Formula Fund projects. At their January 5th meeting, the STIF Advisory Committee will work through a set of projects to develop the final recommendations to the board. And at your January 20th meeting, you'll be asked to approve the final Formula Fund projects from around the county acting as the QE. The STIF final Formula Fund applications will be due on February 1st to ODOT. While I won't go through the details of what happens next, ODOT has an extensive process to review the STIF Formula Fund applications from around the state. And ultimately, ODOT is expected to announce awards for both the discretionary funds that we're going to talk about tonight and the formula funds in the spring of next year or sometime within that three-month window. Maybe I should ask if you have, that was a pretty dense conversation. Any questions about the timeline at this point?
Go ahead, Josh.
Super fast. I'm sorry, Tom. I didn't see this. I thought this was going to be in the timeline that you have up right now was going to be in the document that was distributed, the handout that has like the applications to the committee. Did I miss the other handout that has this in it, or is it in the board packet?
I would guess it's in the board packet. This is the okay. PowerPoint that okay. I.
All right, my apologies. Yeah. I'll dig around for it. Thank you, though. No other questions about the timeline.
Okay. Go ahead.
I was just saying, I think people are excited to hear more about the projects. So go ahead and go for it.
Here we go. To start with, I just want to give a quick overview. So the discretionary projects, as the name somewhat implies, are projects that aren't based on a formula. They're not, nobody is given a set amount of funding. It's really competitive. And so, we wanted to go over with you kind of what we're applying for in this competitive round. So first of all, the discretionary funds are under the umbrella of what the state calls Statewide Transportation Network Program. And within that program, there are three sub-programs, as you can see in this slide here. The first, the STIF Discretionary Fund, is available for a wider range of things. The STIF Intercommunity Fund, as the name implies, is really focused on looking at, as it says here, improving public transportation between two or more communities, again, based on the competitive grant process. And with a very similar focus, the FTA Section 5311F intercity funds, like I said, have a similar focus in terms of connecting between two places, in particular, connecting smaller areas into larger areas. And so the Diamond Express is a good example of that. And that's the project that would be looking at applying for the intercommunity funds. I should say here that the STIF, I mentioned this in the AIS, but the STIF intercommunity funds have a much lower match requirement than the FTA section 5311F. And for that reason, we're applying for the STIF intercommunity funds for the Diamond Express project, but know that we're also applying into the federal funds because it's a competitive process. We wanna make sure that we continue to have funding for that service. So the four project applications that are being prepared by LTD include number one, the STIF intercommunity discretionary grant, like I said, for Diamond Express. This is, as I mentioned, seeking to move the Diamond Express funding currently funded by federal funds, which require a 50% match, to the STIF intercommunity discretionary fund, which is a lower match requirement. They'll be looking for $600,000 total, $300,000 a year for operations. The second project, the STIF discretionary application for interagency software project, is a partnership with the U of O and the City of Eugene. And this project is seeking $600,000 in STIF discretionary funds to basically develop a one-stop shop application where users can plan and pay for trips with one application and be able to see all the alternatives compared in terms of time and cost and other factors. The third project is match for electric bus purchases. This application seeking about $3.4 million in STIF discretionary funding in order to provide a match for $9 million in federal formula funds being used to purchase 11 electric buses. And then the fourth project is an alternative fuel vehicle and related infrastructure purchase for RideSource, wins for the longest title. This application seeking $1 million in discretionary funds for a total project cost of $1.2 million that LTD would use to invest in RideSource related infrastructure. And with that, I'd ask you, well, there's that calendar again. So I'd ask you if you have any questions on the programs broadly or the project specifically. We're asking you to approve resolution 2020-10-21-062. And I'd ask again if you have any questions.
Thank you so much, Tom. And clearly, you and other staff members have had to be very organized to stay on top of all this. And thank you for that presentation. So with that, are there any questions or comments for Tom? Oh, I see Josh, and then I'll go Josh and then Don.
No, go ahead, Don and okay, Steven. We'll do, I can wait.
Don and then Josh.
Well, let's see if I unmuted. Okay, I'm wondering, I mean, we have this as a STIF 2021 project. When would it actually be funded? Do you have an idea of, you know, like when would the new RideSource vehicles be purchased, or when would the Diamond Express get actually funded?
Sure. So, like I mentioned up front, the schedule that ODOT's put out indicates that they would provide a indication of award in the springtime, and that would be information that we'd use to put that in our budget and go through our budget process. The window of funding is intended to be starting next fiscal year, and it'd be a two-year span of time for this round of STIF applications. So the funding's available July 1st of 21, and we'd begin working on all these projects.
So an additional project for the next STIF would be funded in 24, 25, someplace like that?
It'll be 2 years, so the next one would be 23, January, okay. Or July of 23, right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Next, we have Josh and Stephen, and I'm going to throw myself in the queue as well.
I will defer to Stephen and then you, Carl. I can wait. Thank you.
Okay, great. Go ahead, Stephen.
Josh, you feeling okay tonight? thanks, Josh. Just want to thank Christina and Tom. Both presentations, very clear and quite helpful. So just thank you to both of you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Stephen. I guess I'll go ahead first and then go to Josh. You know, I just want to say that it is hard to identify good projects to pursue. I think all four are worthy and they've been reviewed by SPC. They all have their merits, and the truth is you don't know which ones will actually make it all the way through. So one I'm particularly excited about is the electric bus purchase, the match for that. And so, but like I said, that's one out of four, but I think all of them have a lot of worth and should be moved forward. So with that, Josh, you're next.
Thank you, Carl. Yeah, so just quick thank yous. Christine, actually, I really appreciate the upfront the context of this. It's good for us to remember where the funding source is. I mean, I think, you know, at any moment in time, our money just comes from wherever it comes from, but it's good for us to be thinking about that and have, be thinking about where maybe it should come from over the long haul. So it's good to hear that. And Tom, this is super clear. Thank you. I am curious about number two, which I think has the second longest title, only just. It's a software project, and maybe you could talk a little bit more about that. I understand there's been this discussion about I think transportation wallet is the term that's being used. And so Tom, maybe say a little bit about that. If you could also, I'm curious why we would preclude hardware for working with the one other option that is there most obviously, I think, to integrate with, which is our bike share system that has been extremely successful. I mean, in the context of bike share systems all over North America, it's been in terms of the efficiency of the system and how much it gets used per bike, it's a really, really well used system. And seeing as people have been people are actually more interested in biking and walking because of public health conditions, it would be great to see how we could help out with hardware as well as software. But Tom, tell me if that fits in the spirit of this project.
Sure. And actually, I'm going to defer to Robin, who I believe is
I can also answer
or
that.
AJ, yeah. Okay.
I think she may or may not be in the audience. First, I think that's a very good point on the software. I think the easy fix is, the recommendation to ask software and hardware provides us flexibility and doesn't change what we're doing. So I think that's easy. But yes, this is the wallet that we've been working with the U of O and other partners, which we believe would provide a one-stop shop and could really help, especially low-income riders, or riders who right now do not have accessibility to multi-modes through an easy application. So that is the project that we are looking at here to do it, but I think we can add hardware as well, as that's always gonna be needed. So I think expanding that scope makes a lot of sense.
Great, that's super helpful, AJ. And actually, I do want to say, AJ, I really appreciate that you attached in the, I don't know if people saw this, but deep in the packet, there's AJ included a report on from the MPC that is some research at the U of O. I'm one of many team members on that, but it's really being led by Rebecca Lewis in 3PM that it kind of supports what I was saying. It has a lot of survey data and supports what I was saying about people being more interested in biking and walking. And so that's one of the reasons I feel a little bit of urgency on this. But if this could be changed to reflect hardware, as AJ said, that would be great. And I do want to stress for people, hardware doesn't just mean bikes. It often, in this case, also means the IT equipment. I heard someone in the transportation world the other day describe scooters as a mobile phone with a scooter attached, because they have that sort of connectivity. So there's lots of hardware here that fits with the software intent of the project.
Uh, Okay, I think we hit the end of questions and comments. If so, I will entertain a motion.
Oh, wait, and actually, do we need to make a specific amendment there, Carl? Or AJ, maybe, do you want me to, how do you want us to reflect that? Or can we just say like, you know, as, you know, to reflect the discussion, like amended to reflect the discussion?
I think the board wants to adopt the projects if the board chooses to, would state with amendment to project number 2 to include hardware. Right? It's project number.
Okay. Well then, Carl, I will take your prompt. I move adoption of LTD resolution number 2020-10-21-062. It is hereby resolved that the LTD Board of Directors adopt a resolution approving the submittal of the 4 project applications described in the AIS to ODOT on or before November 2nd, 2020 deadline, with the amendment to project number 2 to reflect that hardware is included as well as software.
Got it. So Josh has made the motion with the amendment. Do I have a second?
Emily, I'll second that.
Great. So Emily has seconded the motion. We'll do a roll call vote. I'll start with Josh.
Aye.
Don Norden.
Aye.
Caitlin Vargas.
Aye.
Emily Secord.
Aye.
Stephen Yet.
Aye.
And I, Carl Ye, also vote aye. So motion passes. So great job. Thank you again to Tom, Christina, your teams, and AJ as well. Glad we did that. I think that's a great thing. So thanks. You're welcome. Let's see, where are we? Oh, yes, I forgot there was a part 2. And just to do it correctly, because when we add things to our agenda, I've been making sure the board approves of that. So sorry, I know it's tedious to go through a roll call vote again, but so we're gonna add to the, for the approval of STIF members as requested to add to the agenda. So that is the motion on the floor. I guess I'm making the motion so that we go ahead and add that to the agenda. So is there a second to my motion?
I didn't understand the motion, Carl. I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Because there are some STIF applications for new STIF members. It was something mentioned at the very beginning of the meeting.
Second that heartily. Okay. Great application.
So moved by me, seconded by Josh. All those in favor, we'll start with Josh.
Aye.
Don?
Aye.
Caitlin?
Aye.
Emily? We'll come back to you, Emily. Stephen?
Aye.
And I vote aye. I, Carly, vote aye as well. Emily, are you still there?
Yep, I'm here and I'm in agreement.
Oh, good. So voting, just for record, voting aye.
Thank you.
Okay. So that motion passes. So great. So Tom, would you be the one presenting those applications to us?
You want me to do it, Tom?
Yes, okay. Please.
Okay.
I don't have
so I'll help out. We received 3 applications for the STIF committee. That is the committee that Christina just went through that advises the board of directors under their qualified entity QE hat and will ultimately make the recommendation to the board to submit to ODOT all Lane County projects. So that committee, as Tom indicated, will be meeting in November, on November 3rd. And we have the opportunity, because we have 3 very qualified candidates, to appoint them now and allow them to participate in the first meeting and then move on through each month meeting. The first application is Dave Reeser, and they are in the LTD website under one of the handouts. I believe it's the second handout. It is there, but I'll just give you a little bit about Dave Reeser. Is the Director of Transportation for the U of O and has a longstanding relationship with LTD, understands the importance of transportation, and we feel that he would be an excellent community advisor. Those applications were reviewed both by LTD staff and LCOG, and they agreed. The second person is Josh Kaczynski. Tom, you're making me say it. And Josh is an active transportation coordinator for the University of Oregon, who also comes with extensive experience in understanding
not just the regular bus transportation, but active transportation, which we feel will be an important voice at the table to give a different perspective. And then the third application we have is from Philip. Ooh, I'm horrible.
Shim Hugh.
Shim Hugh. Mm-hmm. And Philip's current job is, let me see what.
Works for St. Vincent de Paul.
That's right. He works for St. Vincent de Paul. And he brings a nonprofit element that will allow us, as is required by the STIF, to really look at low income individuals and housing and how all of that STIF funds serve people who most need transit. So we feel he will also be an important voice. And as you heard the presentation, it's pretty complex. And what we'd like to do is get them on board, get them oriented to the process and familiar with the projects so that they can provide advice to the board. So our recommendation is for the board to approve these. And I do know there's a question on the table.
Yes, thank you, AJ, for presenting those to us. Don, go ahead.
Well, I just noticed in the heading of these things that, well, David Reeser's, it's a stiff. And then on the other two applications, it's for strategic planning committee. Is that just a, you know, a typo sort of thing of using the long heading on that? Or are we talking about different?
I can answer that if you want.
That's fine, Tom, go ahead.
Okay, so we put out a process recruiting SPC members, as you might recall. In fact, Philip was one of those that was selected to serve on SPC. In addition, Josh Kaczynski was also applying to be on SPC, but we had more applicants for the positions we were filling than we had positions to fill. So we looked at Josh as very active in the community, very knowledgeable on biking and walking in particular, but active transportation broadly, as an excellent candidate, particularly his connection to the U of O, to serve on the STIF advisory committee. And so that selection that basically moved his application for SVC into the STIF. We also had a process to recruit members separately for the STIF committee. And Dave Reeser applied for that role and was selected to serve. So that's why you see the forms with slightly different titles.
Very good close reading, Don. Nice job. Any other questions or comments? If none, I would entertain a motion.
Before the motion, I just want to say, I think we're super lucky to get, I mean, I don't know about the third person because I don't know him, but the first two are amazing. The U of O, I work at U of O, but it also it's in my sub-district. And so I've spent a lot of time talking to Dave and Josh. And so we're really lucky to have them involved. That's all.
I just want to say, I agree. I think all three candidates look great. And I would be happy to approve them.
I have to mention that Dave also served on the Lane Act Committee for several years, which I shared with.
Great. With all this admiration for the candidates, surely someone would like to put forward their names for approval.
Carl, what was the motion that we did right before this? Because I thought we...
This is actually... 60-60.
The motion we did
move
was
adoption
to,
of LTD to... Resolution 2020-10-21-063. Hereby resolved that LTD Board of Directors approves the appointment of the proposed applicants to the STIF Advisory Committee.
Second. Okay.
Thank you, Don. And so it's been moved by Don to approve these applicants and then seconded by Josh. Just to clarify what Josh was asking, we were what we voted on was to put it on the agenda, and now we're actually voting on the item. So, yeah. So sorry for the confusion there. So we'll go ahead and do a roll call vote. We'll start with Josh.
Hi.
Don Norden?
Aye.
Caitlin Vargas?
Aye.
Emily Secord? We'll move to Stephen. Yeah, we'll come back to you, Emily.
Aye.
I, Carl Yeh, also vote aye. Go ahead, Emily. I see your mic on.
Aye.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. Okay. So it's unanimous. The applicants are approved. So thank you very much, Tom, for and AJ for presenting those to us. And let's see, let's go to, I think we're at the end of our agenda. Were there any questions about department reports, including the financial report? Okay, looking around, looks like I hate saying this just because I might be opening the door. Any other things that we ought to consider before I adjourn the meeting?
I know, Carl, you're scared, but this is super quick. I was just reading the minutes and I noticed that you had actually suggested in a work session back in, I think it was in August, that maybe we could do an updated micro-mobility discussion. And I know there's been a bunch of activity with the city and the LTD and the university have both been involved. So if we could get like an update from staff just on what's been going on, because I know there has been something, that would be great. So I would just suggest that for a future
meeting.
Yeah.
Noted. And I do believe a work session is coming on that. So I don't know, AJ, I'm sure you caught it, but just to make sure, just a confirmation.
Yes, we can put that for the November one. That would work.
Perfect. Thank you so much, AJ. Okay. I think we're good then. So please enjoy your 25 minutes of found time. Thank you very much to all the board members. Again, these all board members are volunteers, and we really do appreciate your commitment and time to LTD. And so please, everyone, stay safe and healthy, and please enjoy your evening. So have a great day. Talk to you later.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Have a good day, everyone.